This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And our Big Al sidekick tonight might be running a little bit late, if here at all, so he's going to try to make it, but he's out of sight, so he's getting a little bit late. So there's not cooperating, so looks like my flying slow tonight. So bear with me. We got a lot to discuss tonight. Hope everyone is doing well. Hello, Golf Dogs, HOB Radio, Alaskan Boyd, and of course Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you all. And let's not forget www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. If you want a international and a national flavor of news, an eclectic view without partisanship, check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He has some great – and on a cue, Big is here. So nice to see you, Big. Love his blog spot. So does a great job. We'll be talking about some of the – stories that he had in the previous week as well. Stories from like Gatestone Institute. And thank you, Sue, also for some articles, the Western Journal, the Stream. You've got also from Daily Caller, the New Yorker, Front Page, Town Hall. I mean, you have a flavor of everything, including some international news as well. So today, the NASA attempted to launch Artemis 1 launch. It was scrubbed this morning, and isn't it fitting? You got the corrupt Biden-Harris regime, and yet another disaster, right? Another scrub, I should say. Anyways, there was an engine leak. The weather did not cooperate, and NASA took the precaution to scrub the launch. And I think rightly so, especially when you have an engine leak or an engine bleed, as they call it. Artemis 1 has cost taxpayers to date $40 billion. It's an unmanned launch, and we shouldn't be surprised, though, under the feckless and corrupt Biden-Harris regime, a launch would be scrubbed. Artemis 1 mega rocket launch has been postponed after the launch team discovered an issue with an engine bleed in one of the rocket's four engines. A new launch date has not been set, and the team will reconvene tomorrow, which will be August the 30th, to assess possible options, the missions manager said. The next launch opportunity is on Friday. Artemis 1 was scheduled to launch on a mission today to go beyond the moon and return to Earth. The aim of NASA's Artemis program is to return humans to the moon for the first time since 1972. So Ralph Cranman has been doing it since 1955, and NASA wants us to do it again. So yeah, and this rocket is, this Artemis rocket is incredible. It has two boosters on each side, like the boosters that have propelled the space shuttle. The only thing that is not interesting with the Artemis rocket is that the boosters are not reusable, which I thought was kind of interesting. However, they have some markings on the boosters that NASA will study, almost like a Q scan code. It'll give the NASA a bunch of info as the rocket is turning as it's lift off and for future. So let's hope that NASA can get a little bit more frugal and in the future reuse the boosters based on the data that they will retrieve from the two boosters that are accompanying the main rocket. And the main rocket has got four engines. So this thing is huge. So can't wait. Let's hope that Friday NASA can launch the Artemis 1. And so they determined no leak or bleed. It was frozen vapor that melted. So interesting. Thanks, Holger. But yeah, here again, you got, you know, the bumbling Biden administration. Ugh, gosh. But isn't it ironic that this is what, you know, bumbling Biden will go forth with regards to, you know, President Trump's vision to go back to the moon. And, of course, you know, the blithering idiot Biden will take credit for it, though, you know, not the scrub, of course. He doesn't take credit for any failures, which his entire administration has been a failure. PGA News. Real quick, this past weekend capped a season-long PGA Tour with the season-ending FedEx Cup Championship at East Lake in Atlanta, Georgia. There were some depressed individuals, including Scottie Scheffler, but Scottie Scheffler was the FedEx Cup leader going into the week. For 3 days, Scheffler held the lead or was tied, and actually going into Sunday's final round, he enjoyed a six-shot lead at 23 under par, with both Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele tied for second at 17 under par, again, six shots back. But the lead quickly evaporated, and I think due in part because Rory McIlroy was playing in the final group. Scheffler was tight the whole round, including the first tee shot, and his game stalled. It was going backwards, and by the 16th hole, Scheffler and Rory were tied at 20 under. Then Scheffler bogeyed the hole, and Rory made a great up-and-down par to stay at 20 under. So 20 under? Yes, I believe it was 20 under. Anyways, the last chance was for Scheffler to eagle or birdie the par 5 18th hole, while Rory should only par or worse, and that could give Scheffler a tie or a win, but unfortunately that didn't happen. So Rory McIlroy has become the first three-time FedEx winner, and he earned $18 million for the win and for winning the FedEx Cup. So it was a hell of a comeback. But Rory's game was peaking at the right time, and you could see it coming. You know, you could see it coming together before the start of the FedEx Cup 3 weeks ago. He had that look about him. The game was coming together. He was getting his putter corrected, and it all materialized. And you know, another thing that really was a telltale sign that he was going to win. And as soon as I heard this, I thought in my mind, it's like, uh-oh, that's not good. So on the first tee, when they were announcing the players to tee off, and first Scottie Scheffler went, then they announced Rory McIlroy, and they said, how impressive it was that Rory started the tournament off with a triple bogey on the very first hole, and only to come back and end up in second place to start the day on Sunday at 17 under par. And one other golfer did that, a Korean player did that earlier this year. And he ended up winning the tournament. He had a triple bogey on the very first hole, which, you know, it's just not a good way to start, obviously. And then the Korean player ended up winning the tournament. And that the first thing I thought about, and sure enough, Scottie Scheffler just was not himself the entire round. He wasn't himself on Saturday either. And thanks to the weather delay, and that caused him to finish his last six holes on Sunday morning. And he played well. And you thought maybe that might be, you know, something that would loosen him up because he's a great player. But he had a, you know, you can't take anything away from the young man. He's 25 years old. He won four times this year, including a major, the Masters. His game has come together. He surged to number one in the world, and it was just too bad that he couldn't cap off such a great season with winning the FedEx Cup. But taking anything away from Rory knows how to win, and Rory McIlroy did a great job. Unfortunately, it cost Scheffler $1 million. So congratulations to Rory McIlroy. LPGA, the Paula Rico, I think she's a Spaniard, wins the CP, the Canadian Women's Open, for her first win. I'll tell you, I was watching this tournament as well, and this lady, she hits a great shot for her third shot, but her second shot, her approach shot, she took a wood out and tried to go for the green. She pushes it right into some gnarly stuff. She's on a hill. You know, her feet are way below the ball. She's in all this cabbage, you know, long grass. And she has a lot of room, you know, to a back pin placement. She's got to go over a bunker. She mishits this thing. The ball goes in the bunker. Her one-shot lead is probably gone. She makes just a phenomenal shot and nestles it up to about 15 feet. She did miss the putt for a birdie, but all she needed to do was par in order to win the tournament and capture her first LPGA Tour win. And it was really cool. So she passed the third round leaders, Naren An and Hai-Jin Choi, to get her first win. So congratulations to Paula Rico. She also got a champagne shower at the end. And the old guys, the Champions Tour, saw Steve Stricker win his second Champions Tour tournament of the year. So congratulations to Steve Stricker. In baseball news, I am a Yankee fan, and Bigfoot, I know you are as well. How about that 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie card? Mickey Mantle 1952 rookie card went for a whopping $12.6 million. $12.6 million. I mean, whoa, un-freaking believable. I mean, whoa, how would you love to have had that card? It was a 9.5 mint condition. Let's see, 1952 Mantle rookie card, considered the finest example known to exist, sold for $12.6 million over the weekend, making it the most valuable piece of sports memorabilia sold at auction. So what are you going to do with that card, Big? The Mantle card crossing the threshold is a great sign for the hobby, but it will not be the last piece to achieve eight figures, says Chris Ivey, the director of sports auctions at Texas-based Heritage Auctions. The sports collectible market has been on a steady rise for a couple of decades. In the spring of 2020, at the same time the pandemic began, it grew exponentially. One of the reasons the sports memorabilia is becoming increasingly popular is people see the collectibles as an alternative asset to hedge inflation. Well, maybe I should see what my Mickey Mantle signed baseball, autographed baseball, is worth. Holy crap. Whoa. That'll make someone's day. $12.6 million. Whoa. You know how many student loans that'll pay? they didn't reveal who the collector was, but Heritage Auctions worked with Giordano and the grading service company Sports Card Guarantee Corporation earlier this year to have the card graded, and it received a mint plus 9.5 out of 10. If you don't know, I got to tell you, that is unbelievable grade for a 1952 card. Anthony Giordano, who acquired the card in 1991 for $50,000. 50,000 and he sold it for 12.6. So congratulations. That one is poof. Oh, mama mia. Jeez. I traded for a mansion. Maybe I could. Yeah. So Big said, if I had a card worth $12 million, I traded for a mansion. Maybe I'd move to Martha's Vineyard next to Obama. Yeah, but then he qualified it. Why should I don't want to live in Taxachusetts. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. You know, for the shot heard round the world, Massachusetts, Concord, Massachusetts, where the Revolutionary War began, the shot heard round the world, it has become the socialist state of the United States. It's unbelievable how bad this state has become, how left-wing this state has become. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm glad I only did some schooling up there because it's truly incredible that such an iconic state that launched our freedoms and liberties would be so far left that they're bordering on communism. It's really sad to watch. Also sad to watch, and again, yet another Biden blunder. Full implosion overnight in the green zone as Baghdad threatens to become the next Kabul. By all accounts, and of course this is 1 year, okay, since the fall of Kabul, the fall of Afghanistan. So this past Friday marked the 5 year, the 1 year anniversary of Biden's blunder and, you know, the foreign policy guru. But, you know, you have to remember what Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama stated about Joe Biden: don't underestimate Joe Biden to fuck things up. So, and he doesn't. You know, it's one disaster after another. This feckless fraud continues to show how unqualified the installation of this man has been. And it's unbelievable what we're seeing. So by all accounts, the situation into the overnight hours, local Baghdad, has continued to spiral, with one well-known regional Mideast correspondent describing a full implosion despite security forces attempting to enforce a strict curfew meant to clear the streets. The Republican Palace, which is where Iraq's gridlock parliament meets, was occupied by armed protesters earlier in the evening. And this is Monday, March 29th, so it's just today. CNN reports of the latest, at least 5 people have been killed and more than 40 have been injured in violent clashes that erupted in Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone on Monday, following an announcement by powerful Iraq Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadir that he was withdrawing from political life, medical sources told CNN. Earlier, though, confirmed reports that at least 8 had died amid clashes with police. These numbers were quickly updated, and the death toll is expected to go higher into the night. At least 12 protesters killed, 2 security members killed, state trying to impose a curfew, but the situation is out of hand. Why are we not surprised? Why are we not surprised that a situation under the bumbling Biden-Harris regime would be out of hand? The fall of Afghanistan, out of hand, 13 U.S. soldiers died. And what does Joe Obama do? He goes up and he's meeting with, who was it, Jay Leno, you know. So it just goes to show how comical, and there's nothing funny about Joe Obama Biden. There is nothing funny. It's just become one disaster after another. And to see how America is exiting these locations in the Middle East, not that we should have been there in the first place, but, you know, maybe we should have been there. We should have taken care of business. We should have taken out Al-Qaeda, taken out ISIS, and then leave. Unfortunately, this wasn't the aim. It wasn't the objective. After we decimated parts of Afghanistan, only to occupy it for 19 years. And now we have a buffoon that comes in the White House, a charlatan who really isn't qualified to be dog catcher of the United States. And again, another disaster is unfolding in Baghdad. Thank you to Joe Biden and his feckless leadership. Video shows live ammunition, heavy gunfire, rockets fired over green zone where protesters are being pushed away. Several witnesses told CNN the security forces protests out of Iraq's Republican Palace by firing tear gas and live bullets. Hundreds of protesters stormed the building inside the Green Zone, showing Al-Sadr's announcement, following Al-Sadr's announcement, Iraqi security officials have told. The White House previously denied widespread claims that an embassy evacuation was in progress, but at this point, it seems more than likely that key personnel are being whisked into safety given the crumbling security situation in the supposedly high secure Green Zone. Excuse me. This is the key. Okay, if we take nothing else from this administration, this less than transparent administration, this deceptive administration, the White House previously denied widespread claims that an embassy evacuation was in progress. Now, I know you don't want to show your hand, but again, we have an administration that is not honest. And this is what is troubling about America right now. And it's all by design. It's one thing to say that this is accidental and this is something that happened, you know, arbitrarily, but it's a chronic occurrence. It's happening on a daily basis. You know, just the way the Democrat Party, the DNC, state news media, you know, went after President Trump on a daily basis, making up stories, making up Russian collusion, and berating this man on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we have a regime in Washington, D.C. that is dishonest. Frankly, it's corrupt. And some of the stories we'll talk about today, of course, you know, when you speak about corruption, let's talk about Joe Obama's illegally issued edict forgiving student loan debt. And to show you how corrupt the U.S. Congress is, they went right along with this illegal and unconstitutional act bypassing Congress. The U.S. Constitution means nothing to the communists that are running the U.S. government today. The destructive Democrat Party, including Nancy Pelosi, who is one of the worst speakers of the House the U.S. has ever had, a corrupt woman, a bitter partisan and petulant woman. And you can't tell Americans the petulant Pelosi did not have a vendetta against President Trump and the American people for electing Trump. Pelosi has remained quiet as the executive branch has usurped the Constitution by issuing a unilateral act to forgive student loan debt. Pelosi had remained quiet through this whole thing, a $500 billion financed by U.S. taxpayers. But see, this destructive and dishonest Biden-Harris regime actually has no idea what the actual cost is. Now, can you imagine issuing an unconstitutional edict and you can't disclose what the cost will be to taxpayers after bypassing Congress, which has the constitutional authority to spend money and to forgive loans, not the executive branch of government? This goes to show how corrupt and dishonest the rogue Biden-Harris regime truly is. And don't tell us that Manchin and Sinema, Senators Manchin, are moderates. You know, please stop that narrative. We understand the so-called mainstream media gets their marching orders from the Democrat National Committee, the DNC. The media in America is also a partisan corrupt outlet. And Joe Obama is the front man, a charlatan who is being used to execute these unconstitutional acts. And Pelosi and Schumer are allowing it to happen. The same duo who railed against President Trump on a daily basis. The same duo who furthered lies and misinformation and propaganda to attack and assail President Trump on a daily basis. And they are allowing this charlatan, Joe Obama Biden, to get away with his anti-constitutional acts. And when one or two people of the media try to bring this up, we get some convoluted word salad from Jean-Pierre, the perfect stooge. Okay, to be the propaganda queen, the propaganda princess inside of Washington, D.C., inside of the White House. The spending in Washington, D.C. is out of control, folks. It's reckless, and it's flat-out fiscally irresponsible. Instead of demanding colleges and universities reduce tuitions and refund the American people, we have a government who is abusing American taxpayers. We have universities spending over $130 million lobbying for student loan forgiveness to the federal government. $130 million colleges and universities are lobbying United States Congress. And guess what? Your sons and daughters' tuition is impacted by the $130 million that is being thrown at these corrupt congressmen and this charlatan in the White House. I was looking at some of the universities. The University of Florida's out-of-state tuition is over $920 per credit hour. $920 versus in-state tuition, which is about $300 per credit hour. So how about reducing student tuition instead of paying a lobbyist for forgiving tuition? And let me reiterate, the corrupt Biden-Harris regime has no idea what the cost to the U.S. taxpayers will be. And Jean-Pierre said this in a White House press briefing, which they finally brought back. Actually told that young man from Fox News, she told him they had no idea. But it was going to reduce the deficit. So let me see. You have no idea how you are going to how many people are going to be claiming the college tuition forgiveness, but you actually are going to save money because we don't believe that it's going to increase the deficit, because what we're saying is that the $1.7 trillion, we've done the work to lower the deficit, is what Jean-Pierre said. Now I thought the word salad with communist Kamala Harris was good, but this one's even better. So here's Jean-Pierre, the propaganda princess, okay, explaining after she stated that they have no idea what the program is going to cost, this forgiveness is going to be cost, okay, this anti-constitutional action by the charlatan Obama Biden, okay? Here is Jean-Pierre's propaganda princess words. We don't believe that it's going to increase the deficit because what we're saying is the $1.7 trillion, we've done the work to lower the deficit. Does anybody want to try to decipher this? I mean, does anybody want to attempt to decipher what the word salad is? I do have a hand up in the, I'm going to take the call. So it's very possible that Vikings can interpret a word salad from a dolt. From the propaganda. Hello, Holger. Good evening. How are you?
Well, good evening. It's good to be here.
I hope you're better than Scotty Scheffler.
You know, I just saw the press conference interview with him from yesterday, and you know, the kid is he's only 26 years old. At 26 years old, I was still learning how to, you know, do my first load of laundry. And, you know, he is one classy kid. I'm telling you, he made no excuses. He went through, I mean, he went through almost every shot of his round. I mean, he was so focused on that and, didn't make any excuses. And, you know, he just laid everything out very calm, not upset, not petulant. He said that, you know, Rory played better golf and deserved the win. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit because I wouldn't even done the damn press conference.
I agree. I mean, a $13 million difference. And you know, that very first tee shot said it all. I mean, his approach shot and the first putt. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he can, you know, they can say all they want that, you know, he's a cool customer, and he's, you know, he's not shakable and all that kind of good stuff, but he's still 26. He still won his first tournament like 8 months ago. You know, I mean, the guy winning the Masters this year is probably one of the biggest feats of all time, quite frankly. And you know, you got to remember, he came within one stroke of winning this thing. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's you know, they talked on the Golf Channel today. They asked the question, you know, with all these great young golfers, do they see anybody doing what Scheffler did this year? And none of the guys on the panel said, you know, it's virtually impossible that somebody's going to do this again. And,
wow.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was disappointing, but it was fun, and it was back and forth, and gosh, you couldn't stop watching. As much as we wanted to stop watching, you just couldn't stop watching. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they asked him, you know, what he did, you know, when they came back from the rain, you know, the morning when they came back to finish the third round, he was on fire,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so then they were done. So then they had this 4 or 5 hours, you know, where he was off before the fourth round started. So they asked him, you know, kind of the reporter kind of asked him if he was, you know, maybe he spent too much time thinking about the enormity of the situation or whatever. And he looks at the guy, he goes, no, he says, actually, he says, I spent a couple hours with having lunch with Rory and John Rahm. He says, we were just kind of shooting the breeze about lots of stuff. He says, I wasn't really thinking about golf.
Oh, man, that's pretty good.
I mean, how many guys are going to go and sit down to a two-hour lunch with the guy that they're going to play against in the grouping to win the tournament?
Right? Exactly, right?
So, reason I called is, you know, as you go down this list of all these things of bumbling Biden, and you go through all the things that they're doing to us as a people, and when you look at the total hypocrisy of their actions, when you look at the, you know, somebody had tweeted out earlier today, they said that, you know, it's gotten to the point where you have to ask yourself why the world is in complete chaos after a year and a half of Joe Biden, and yet we had no chaos when Donald Trump was president for 4 years. And, you know, so, I mean, everybody in this country, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative, everybody is losing it because everything is turning to shit. I mean, everything. I mean, not stuff even outside of the United States and all that. I mean, it's, you know, there's threats of new war every damn day, you know. And so, anyway, it was a reminder to me. I saw a clip. Somebody had tweeted out a clip, an old clip of when Trump was president. And he was sitting in at the White House. And it was one of the few times that he had the leaders of Congress over there. And so here's, you know, this clip. I don't think I'd ever seen the clip before. But here's this clip of Trump sitting at the head of the table. And on his right side is a bunch of the morons from the House. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi is sitting there with a stick up her ass. And on the left side of the table are all the dudes from the Senate. Okay, and Chuck Schumer's right in the middle of them. And what they're talking about they were going to run out of money. Okay, so they had to do a new budget. And so they were in one of these, you know, like we go through every year where the budget has to be, you know, this emergency budget has to be approved or the government's going to shut down and all that kind of good stuff. And Trump is sitting there, and, I mean, he is just absolutely antagonizing the shit out of these people. And he's like, well, you know, if we don't have the money, then, you know, you can't just slap Band-Aids on this stuff and all that. And Schumer is like fidgeting in his seat like a 5-year-old. And finally Trump just goes, well, Chuck, you know, let's just let it shut down and I'll sign off on it. You can put it on me. And Schumer's like, oh, okay, well, good, yeah. And I'm watching Chuck Schumer, and it just sent this signal back to me again, so clearly, of what a infant, what a tantrum, what a loser this guy is. You know, you could tell he was so upset that he could, and I mean, this guy is a freaking lawyer 10 times over, you know, supposedly, you know, one of the most composed people. And Trump had him jumping around in his seat like he had cooties in his pants. I mean, he was literally, his face was beet red. He was like, oh, fine, just, I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. And the reminder is this. Every one of us knows people in our lives, okay? We've got a family member. We've got a neighbor. We've got a coworker. We've got people we went to high school with or college with who are absolutely worthless as tits on a boar, okay? They and think of it this way. Think of that person. Think of that person that is absolutely, an adolescent who never grew up, who's a loser, who absolutely contributes nothing to the welfare of the family or society or the company they work for, who absolutely drags every individual they ever come in contact with, they drag them down. Think of that person. Then think about putting that person in charge of you and your company or your family or your neighborhood or your town or your country, or the world. That's the part that we have to understand so we don't go mad. Because we sit here and try and point all of the shit that these people do, we create these long lists of hypocrisy that they adhere to. We list the failures that they've done. But look at who they are. They are the worst. You know, you graduated from a high school class of 550 students. Well, the guy that was 533, he got elected fucking representative from the state of New York. And that's what you get. You
Good
get
point.
A Bernie Sanders, somebody who is an absolute loser all his life, who never had a real job, who basically decides that the only way he can get even with all the people that put him down as a kid, you know, he ends up a U.S. senator, runs for president. I mean, the point is, we have to understand that none of us, these people that are in power in this country right now, and I'm talking, you know, the president, from the president all the way down through Congress, through the people, the bureaucrats, the people that head up these agencies like the FBI. I mean, I would love to look back at the childhood of Christopher Wray. I'll bet you as a kid he was probably, you know, sitting on the sidelines at the high school football game, you know, filling up Gatorade bottles instead of playing on the field. So the bottom line is, you look at these people and you have to understand that for one thing, they're incompetent. Secondly, their whole basis for being there is a grudge match. You and I have talked at length about this whole thing on the golf scene with this Live Golf. and I've made the comment many times that the whole live golf scenario is based upon this 30-year-old grudge from Greg Norman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not doing it to better the game. He's not doing it to make it better for the players. He's doing it to settle a score. So we sit here in America now with somebody who raises the gas prices twofold and acts like he doesn't care. Well, he doesn't care because he's getting even with you. Because when Joe Biden was a kid, they all called him stupid because he was stupid. And he did dumb things every day. And he never grew up. And he went to college and cheated on it every class assignment he had. And he got caught. And he ended up at the very bottom of his law school class. These are the people that came to power. And we're sitting here scratching our heads as conservatives and go like, oh, my God, how can this be going on? And look what they did. And look, we can't waste our time. It's like if you've ever been around a little kid, you know, like a kid like that's like 4 or 5 years old, and they get into the why thing, you know, like, oh, we got to get you down for a nap. Why? Well, because you need your rest. Why?
Why?
You know, and it goes on for like an hour and a half.
Why?
That's the Speaker of the House. You know, they asked Nancy Pelosi one time. They asked her if a reporter asked her if Obamacare was constitutional. And her response was, are you serious? Are you serious? That was her response. That's the third in line for the presidency. Are you serious? Well, of course I am. I take your answer.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like you can't argue with stupid. You can't, you know, in real life, you meet some guy at a gas station, and he comes over and starts chatting with you, and within 15 seconds, you figure out that he's either mentally ill or just a complete moron. You're not going to sit at the pump for the next 45 minutes talking, you know, theological discussions with this guy. You want to get in your freaking car and get the hell out of there. But those are the people that we have running this country. Look at the exchanges between Peter Strzok and that other FBI agent, his little squeeze.
Lisa Page.
I mean, they're like pre-teenagers.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And nothing comes out of it. Nothing comes out of it. I mean, you have two members of the FBI who were actively seeking to undermine a presidential candidate, a president-elect, and a president, and we've got 10,000 pages of documents, and nothing comes out of it. And like you said, we sit there, we read this back and forth, and it's like two little children who are mad at the bully or mad at this person on the schoolyard for bringing lunch, you know, for everybody.
Yep.
Yes.
But that's a great point you bring up. I mean, this is where I think we as conservatives have to get our act together because, you know, when that all went down, when those texts and all the texts came out between Strzok and what the heck, I can't remember her name, Page or
Lisa
whatever
Page.
Her last name was.
Yep.
You know, when that all came out, you know, we had people on Twitter and all the conservatives were like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, and, you know, and here's what they're trying to do, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this. We spent months on this, you know, pointing out this horrible behavior. Well, it was simple. They hate Donald Trump because Donald Trump represents the people that they've hated since they were two little kids, when Peter Strzok was, you know, 8 years old, and in school, and the one boy in school that, you know, won 15 medals at the Olympics that they had in the school, And Peter Strzok sat on the sideline and go, that bastard, I'm going to get even with him someday. Well, he did. You know, Donald Trump was a reincarnation of his little nemesis from 8 years old. You know, and we're spinning our wheels for 4 months trying to figure out how in the world two FBI agents could be talking about taking down the President of the United States when it's as simple as they're infants. They're throwing a tantrum. They hate Donald Trump more than they hate anything in the world. More than you could ever imagine hating anything in the world. They hated Donald Trump. And now with this raid on Mar-a-Lago, it's coming out to be the same thing. This guy that just got escorted out of the FBI headquarters, the guy that basically started the whole raid. They're like, they like pulled him out of there because someone finally figured out that he had this grudge to settle against Donald Trump, and he apparently went a little rogue, kind of started to do some things on his own, and now everybody's got egg on their face. You know, that's the scariest part of all this. We've got people responsible for sending, that could send, you know, 200 nuclear warheads across the world who have the maturity of a 7-year-old. That's who rules this country.
And it's chronic. And it's chronic. You know, you went through a short list, but you've got Biden, who is part of that petulant system. You've got communist Kamala, the same thing. I mean, she's dumb as a rock. And then you go down to Pelosi, who acts childish, ripping up the President of the United States speech. You've got Schumer, who changes his tune as you go along. But you know, it's not limited to that left side of the aisle. How about McConnell, Foghorn Leghorn, coming out just this past week and stating that, well, we're not sure that the Senate will take it because the quality of candidate. How dare a former Senate majority leader, a Senate minority leader, absolutely tank a political party? How dare you elevate a communist Warnock, Raphael Warnock, over a patriot such as Herschel Walker? How dare you embrace Marxism? You embrace Marxists all around the United States, stating that the Republicans, the quality of candidates. Really, that never stopped the Democrat Party by putting these little petulant little snots, you know, in office and making sure that they beat, you know, Republicans who have been, you know, holding a seat for 8, 10, 12 years while they occupy seats for 30 years. I mean, since when do we have a minority leader in the Senate who's supposed to be this esteemed individual, and he is absolutely trying to tank the Republican wave coming in. And you and I are using the term Republican for the issue of voting. You know, we understand that it's very little difference between the two parties, but I'll tell you, McConnell is showing it, isn't he? He's showing what kind of man that he truly is, a Washington insider, a deep stater who despises Donald Trump, but he can't come out and say it.
Yep.
Because, in effect, Holger, who is he lambasting? If Donald Trump is 194-7 in these primary races, who in the hell is Foghorn Leghorn McConnell going after and doing it in a subtle, subversive way? Who? He's got to be going after Donald Trump, right?
But see, definitely. But but the problem is you got, you know, Foghorn Leghorn is getting old. Okay, I don't know how old he is, but he's got to be like Biden's age, isn't he?
He's
got to be close to 80.
I'm going to look it up right now. Go ahead.
He's not as sharp as he was, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And this whole thing he pulled on the, you know, the Senate, well, you know, we're, you know, it doesn't look good for us. You know, it looks like we might end up in the minority again and all that kind of good stuff. He's doing that because his masters are telling him, you know, behind the scenes they're saying, okay, here's the deal. The Senate is not going to go over to Republican control because we might not be able to hold off the House. So and so he wasn't supposed to say shit like that. He wasn't supposed to come out with that, and he didn't do a very good job of wording it, talking about word salads, but he didn't do a very good job. So the cow was out of the barn after he opened his mouth. And so he kind of revealed the whole plan and all that. But here's the other thing, Vito, on this whole train of thought I'm on. And you did a good job of pointing out some, you know, Nancy Pelosi ripping up the State of the Union speech. You know, what, have we ever seen a more childish prank in the history of the federal government? I mean, literally standing up in front of 100 million people watching this broadcast and tearing the speech in half like, you know, like your little Karen in third grade, you know, pissed off because Julie got an A on her paper and she's ripping it in half, you know? I mean, that's the shit that third graders do, okay?
Right.
But here's the point. The dirty little secret about Marxism, you know, Karl Marx wasn't walking around in Germany, you know, taking inventory of all the poor people, oh, all the factory workers, all living in destitute times and all this. And Karl didn't have this huge heart. You know, he just wasn't that sympathetic or empathetic a person, you know. What Marxism originated from was to get even. It was about dragging down the wealthy and successful, okay? And when we say that, you got to understand there's people in this country that have been very successful. They built their, you know, they've opened their own little company. They built it up from nothing, you know. People like Bill Gates did that, okay? There's millions of people that have done that with a business, you know, and they're making $300,000-$400,000 a year, and they're reaping the benefits and all that. Karl Marx saw those bastards as the enemy, and he saw that Marxism was a system where we could take the shit away from those bastards. Those snooty, successful pricks. Let's bring them down to our level. That's what Marxism is all about. It's not about making things better for poor people, because poor people never get better under Marxism. Never have. They die under Marxism. It's all about taking the successful down. So when you look at it, why are people like AOC, why are people like Rashida Tlaib, why are people like Jerry Nadler, why are people like, you know, Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell and Nancy Pelosi, why are these people attracted to socialism? Because they've got the same hatred towards people. Like, oh, I don't know, name a guy that was extremely successful in the private sector, built an empire, had hotels and fucking golf courses. Help me out, Vito.
I'm just going to quickly, Donald Trump, go ahead.
Oh, God, you know, yeah. Donald Trump was the epitome. I mean, not only was Donald Trump the outsider who was throwing a wrench into everything in this federal government mechanism, but Donald Trump represented that prick that they all hated because he was successful, and he had a damn pretty wife, and he lived in luxury, And we want to bring him down, and we want to bring them all down. And that's why you've got a kindergarten classroom running this country where they're like, okay, Billy, yeah, you're not wearing your Birkenstocks to school anymore, now are you? Yeah, you got a pair of kids on like we do. That's why they don't give a shit about how much you and me are paying for a pound of ground beef. They don't give a shit about the economy. They don't give a shit about the price of gas. They don't give a shit, you know, how much Obamacare actually costs people. It's all about dragging people at the middle class level and above down. And the people attracted to that system, it's the reason people like you and me are so vilified by Marxism, because it goes against the grain. I want to be successful. I know that if I do the work and I do things smart and I play things right, that I can get ahead and I can you know, get a bigger piece of the pie. I can do it. Marxism is the complete opposite.
That's right.
That's what we're up against. You're up against people that get so pissed off that they can't get something on Donald Trump that they've been trying for 6 frickin' years to get something on Donald Trump so they can get him out of the way, that they can destroy him and put him out to pasture. People so upset that they haven't been able to do this that they make decisions like to raid his house. I mean, that's what happens when you've got 7-year-olds, you know, sitting around a room going like, well, what are we going to do next? We got to do something. The orange man is bad. Something's got to happen. I mean, I would pay a lot of money to be in some of those rooms, just to be in the corner, to see the fits that these people are, the their little clenched fists and their red faces. And, you know, I mean, my God, I'm sure there's been plenty of people crying over the fact that he's still around. He still might run. He might still win. Oh, my God. It's just, I mean, it's like watching the kid in the candy aisle at Target when mom says, you know, no Reese's.
You know, Holger, I'm thinking about what you said about these little petulant little tantrums that they have, and the Democrat Party reminds me of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood in 1994 wrote a document called the Explanatory Memorandum, where they laid out their agenda for taking over America and the West, and we sit here and we still deny those facts, okay? And then when people start bringing out, you're Islamophobic. Okay, so now I'm looking at, and as you were talking, it hit me. You said about these petulant and these tantrums, and can you imagine the, you know, how it is behind closed doors? So I pull up How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda by Jerry Nadler, Congressman of New York. And Jerry Nadler wrote this 6-page manifesto. So we must do everything we can to stop Trump and his extreme agenda. We do this by, and it lists 3 bullet points, and then the summary of the 3 bullet points. To achieve this, we must keep our eyes on 2 important goals: depressing Trump's public support and dividing the congressional GOP from him and from each other. So to me, that one sentence actually summarizes what the goal has been since 2016, November the 9th. To achieve this, we must keep our eyes on 2 important goals: depressing Trump's public support. So what have they done each and every day since January 20th, 2017? They tried to depress Trump's public support. So much so that they attempted to impeach him twice, even once while he was out of office, okay? And now we're watching this bogus raid, okay, by a rogue FBI agent, okay, who now has been escorted out of the FBI for his vendetta. But that doesn't stop, okay, the rogue FBI from engaging in Biden's hate for his opposition. So now they're still trying to depress Trump's public support. Why? Because Trump's going to run for president, potentially run for president in 2024, and that's going to create so much agita that some of these Marxist heads will explode. But they've also done the Democrats have also done their job in trying to divide congressional GOP from him. And we've seen it, the overt ones. You know, Liz Cheney, Liz Cheney, who now will be the former representative, Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, you know, Susan, whatever, Nick Collins, and then Murkowski, okay? But then you also have subversively, we've got Mitch McConnell, Foghorn Leghorn. He is dividing congressional GOP. He is doing exactly what Jerry Nadler and the Democrats have sought to do since 2016. How in the world does a minority leader, okay, stand up there and say the quality of candidates, when in fact the Democrats will elect a lying, cheating, let's see, in the case of Alcee Hastings, an impeached federal judge, and that man is embraced by the Democrat Party. How about Corrine Brown, the felon? She went to jail for defrauding her constituents, okay, setting up a bogus and a phony foundation to contribute $1,200 out of $1.2 million to scholarships, and yet the Democrat Party embraces this woman, Maxine Waters. We know who all the players are. Fang Fang's little lover, okay, Eric Swalwell, excused by the Speaker of the House, and yet what is the goal? Depress Trump's public support and dividing congressional GOP. So we have the petulant little snakes in Congress, who Jerry Nadler is still a little snake in Congress, who was left off of the football team. He couldn't even make it as a water boy because he was so fucking fat and he was so dumb. And so therefore he ran for Congress and he wins. Okay, so now he's a powerful little imp. And it's the same thing with Biden. He was this little homely little individual from Scranton. He makes up popcorn, you know, to make himself sound tough. And now he's been installed to the highest position in the land. So he's going to do things on his own, irrespective of the Constitution, which he swore to uphold for the last 50 years. So you're right. You're right. We have these petulant little imps who are in government, and they have the power, and they like to talk tough, and they will destroy anybody and everybody who comes along and tries to append their gravy train. And the government taxpayer-funded seats are gravy train. How do you spend and tell me this, please answer this. What, you had a race in a Senate race in South Carolina. The Democrats infused $100 million, okay, Lindsey Graham, okay? He spends in excess of $88 million. So $188 million is spent on a senatorial campaign where you make $175,000 a year.
Yeah.
So why? Why is that much money being spent for $175,000 a year? AOC goes in worth less than $10,000, and now she's worth $27 million. $27 million!
Yeah, but see, the reason, Vito, the reason that money is spent like that is because of what the power means. And so just
yes.
look at the Inflation Reduction Act.
Oh.
You know, went on forever, right?
Right.
I mean, trying to get that passed and all that, and Joe Manchin and Sinema, you know, holding it up and all this bullshit and blah, 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 blah. Well, bottom line is, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you look at the whole climate change, the whole green movement in this country, that was a huge win for them, and that's basically the springboard to more and more legislation moving forward. Well,
right.
Obviously, there are a lot of people in this country who are in a position to make out like bandits on the wealth of that shift. When you dump fossil fuels and push everything into these renewables and stuff, you know, if we're spending $1 trillion a year on gasoline and it goes away, the $1 trillion doesn't go away.
Right.
Somebody's going to be making a lot of money building windmills. There's going to be a lot of people making a lot of money. You know, so those key things are worth twice the numbers that you're talking about. I mean, remember Obama helping out his buddy's little company out with Solyndra?
Yes.
You know, trying to get them set up on the whole green energy thing. I mean, it's a complete racket. The bottom line is I wanted to make this point is when you have these people in power who are, you know, when you look at them and you look at the way they act, you look at their personalities, you look at them through their psychology, when you analyze them and you find out just how freaking weird they are. They're freaks. You know, Joe Biden showering with his daughter. I mean, how many fathers, I mean, not even wouldn't do it. How many would ever have even thought of that? Oh, I think I'm going to go hop in the shower with my daughter. I mean, how many people would ever have even thought of that? I mean, these people are freaks. So it's no coincidence that all of a sudden now that they are in complete power in this country, now the gates of hell have opened up and every freak in this country has come out into the bright sun of day, stood up on their, you know, their little peach crate and talk, you know, and are expounding the virtues of pedophilia, the virtues of transgenderism, the virtues of gay, the virtues of gay marriage, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like and the point being is this, is you've got 350 million people in this world, or in this country, and in my view, 80% of the people in power fit this mold of this loser, freak, kind of aberration. You know, those are the 80% of the people up there are fit into that mold. And they are attracting all of these woke freaks into the mix. But when you think about it, the people in this country, the percentage of people in this country who are transgendered, who are gay, who are pedophiles and stuff, you're at the uppermost, you're maybe talking 3% of all the people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are wagging the dog. they dominate the culture. You can't turn a TV show on without a gay couple on it. You can't turn on a news program without somebody talking about transgender rights. You can't turn on a college sporting event without seeing somebody with a dick competing with people with big boobs. You know, it's impregnated the entire culture. It's swaying people on their voting patterns. You know, to the point, it's no different than what they did with global warming, what they did with climate change. That thing attracted every young person under the age of 20. Oh my God, this is what we've been looking for. We've been looking for something to get behind. You know, kind of like the hippies in the '60s. got behind the anti-war movement. Well, everybody under 20 got behind global warming. And it turned into this thing where, you know, you can't watch an advertisement during the Tour Championship without some company talking about sustainability, can you?
No. No.
Well, the important thing that our company does, our company is $500 billion big, but the important thing that we do is we're striving for diversity and sustainability. Oh, I thought you were probably striving for like profit so you'd keep your 15 million shareholders happy. Oh no, our headquarters has got grass growing on the roof.
Grass growing on the roof. That's good. That's good.
The point being, I know I've been just rather long-winded here, but the point being is that when you go backwards from the madness, when you're sitting at home, you're just a regular American who wants shit to be like it used to be. You know, back in the good old days when men were men and women were women and we worked hard at our jobs and we got together for picnics and, you know, on the 4th of July we could actually have fireworks at Mount Rushmore. You know, back in the good old days, that's all we want. And we sit and we look at these screens on our computers on the daily barrage of chaos and madness, Sodom and Gomorrah going on in this country, you've got to trace it back to the fact that the people that are in charge, that the people that are instigating all of this are sick people. They're sick people. You wouldn't. There isn't an American family alive other than a bunch of really weirdos. There isn't an American family alive that would let Joe Biden babysit their kids for 5 minutes. There isn't anybody alive that would want to live next door to AOC. You'd move. You'd sell your house to get away from her. These are people in real life that you would avoid like somebody with monkeypox. But yet, people line up, keep voting them in,
yeah,
and letting them do the stuff that they do.
You know, you talk about AOC, and I see that Tina Forte – and I'm going to go right to her first, but Tina Forte did win her primary in New York, in the Bronx. I got a clip. Can you hold for a minute? I'm going to play,
yep,
Tina Forte's for Congress.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, member of the squad, leading socialist superstar, repeatedly attacks Israel and the Jewish people, even comparing U.S. border security to Nazi death camps. There's more. She opposed New York City subway improvements, wants to defund the police, even as violent crime continues to rise in New York City. She demands mask mandates, but was caught at a Miami bar with no mask at all. And while AOC attacks the rich, she lives a lavish lifestyle, accepts expensive gifts, and violates ethics laws. New Yorkers deserve someone who will fight for us to make New York better. Tina Forte, wife, mother, grandmother, small businesswoman, patriot. Tina Forte joined parents to reopen schools for our children and supported our law enforcement. Bronx-born and raised, Tina Forte fought corrupt politicians, including suing Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio for executive orders that destroyed our economy, small businesses, and robbed our children of a valuable education. Tina Forte for us. Tina Forte for Congress. She will...
This is the type of person... Now, I know that it's very possible that the swamp would get a hold of someone like this and could change them in a couple of years, but this is the type of outsider. This is the type of individual that needs to go to Congress. This is the type of individual that a Mitch McConnell doesn't want. Yet, this woman is a small businesswoman. Yes, and she started her own YouTube along the way. She took advantage of social media well before she decided to run for Congress. And you and I both have watched her videos, and yes, she can be crass, but you know what? This lady knows the issues. And this is the threat from the Marxists. This is the threat the Marxists don't want. This is why they despise Donald Trump. They don't want these outsiders. They don't want these Lauren Boberts, and they don't want these Marjorie Taylor Greens, who they paint as extremists. Well, we're supposed to embrace, you know, AOC, incestuous Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Mothereff or Tlaib, you know, and that bald broad from Massachusetts, Ayanna Pressley. Okay, we're supposed to embrace Marxists, and yet we have somebody who's a small businesswoman who understands the free enterprise system, who understands what it means to take a risk, okay, and to build the business. This is the exact type of person that our founders wanted in Congress to represent we the people, who also grew up, was born and raised in the Bronx. And when you hear her talk, she has that New York accent. That's the person that I want as my congresswoman. I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing. If you look at if you look at conservatives in this country across the board, you know, and you look at, you know, you go onto Twitter or go onto Facebook or go onto any social media and read what the conservative people in this country, you know, what they're saying, what they're feeling, and all that kind of good stuff. They always glob on to these heroes, okay? And, you know, it's Donald Trump, and it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, and it's Lauren Boebert, and it's the gal you just played and so forth. You know, it was Trey Gowdy back in the day. And those people all have something in common. They're people that wouldn't put up with the bullshit. They'd call a spade a spade. You know, they'd actually call a spade without any fear of some sort of racial thing being thrown at them. And we see it all the time. We glom onto these people, you know, and we're like so hopeful that they're gonna carry the Holy Grail. But the challenge is this: the fact of the matter is this, is that if we as individuals don't do that on a daily basis with the people that we interact with, it'll never get better. You can't expect Lauren Boebert to take down this monolith of a monster, the federal government, when she's outnumbered 100,000 to 1.
Right.
But we all have individual situations every damn day. You know, you walk into some place and some Karen comes up and makes some comment about the mask. You stop and you get right in her face without your mask on and you tell her to shut the fuck up. I shared with you my little story the other day in the grocery parking lot with the Muslim woman when I told her, don't leave the damn cart sitting in the parking space. There's a corral 15 feet away. Put it over there. Learn how to live in this fucking country. You got a responsibility. You took a cart, you put it back where it's supposed to go. You know, and oh my God, she looked like I just, you know, pissed on the Koran. You know, the point being is we all have these opportunities where you take this country back at our level. Not, you know, not hoping that Boebert gets into an argument with Adam Schiff and wins and, oh, scores some points on OAN. It happens right here on the streets when Antifa shows up and all of a sudden finds out that they're outnumbered 20-1 and get the shit beat out of them. You know, this craziness will go away when these people don't think they've got the power. But right now they think they've got the power. They feel that they can walk around, they can walk into some store and make you take your MAGA hat off because they're offended by it. Well, take your MAGA hat off and put it on them. And when they try and take it off, you keep it on their head. You know, pretty soon they don't feel quite as powerful. But, you know, everybody walks around like, oh, well, I don't, you know, I don't want to get into any trouble. I don't want to have any kind of confrontation here. You know, well, just let her scream a little bit about the mask. And bullshit.
Nope.
You can't expect a few people in Washington, D.C. to carry the goddamn the load for everybody, because they're never going to win up there. Never in a million years are they going to win up there. But we can win in the streets. And you saw it in that governor election in Virginia. You saw these people show up to those school board meetings. Those parents show up absolutely irate about all of this bullshit with the FBI targeting them because they're threatening school board members and stuff. And those parents got up and they said, listen, clowns, these are my kids you're talking about, and I'm going to be here every damn night sticking up for my kids. And they backed down real fast, really fast. And that governor election went the right way, right?
It sure did, and it sent a message. And, you know, the unintended consequence of locking down the American people and going to Zoom, you know, your kids have to stay home, we have to close schools, and parents were home as well. And then parents start watching what their children are actually learning. And parents of all backgrounds said, whoa, time out. This can't. This has got to stop. This is what's going on in our schools. And then suddenly, the school systems, the education boards, all got freaked out because it was the everyday American, like you said, it was us on the streets who actually took the time to go to these obscure meetings, education meetings, board of education meetings, and start voicing the opinion. And what was the response from the government? To call out the FBI, to label people terrorists if you dare challenge the Department of Education. No, excuse me. Oh. This is my child, okay? I have a say in what my child learns. I don't want to learn about Johnny has two daddies. My kid needs to learn, okay, at kindergarten, 1 + 1 = 2. That's your job to teach him. Not to teach him any other sexual orientations. That's my job as a parent. So go fuck yourself, and you teach my child reading, writing, and arithmetic.
We need more of, you know, I was in a store a few months ago where a drugstore, and the clerk was missing from the cash register, so I was asking people where the clerk was, and so she finally comes trotting down the aisle and stuff, and so I told the one person working there, I said, oh, here she is, and I got over, and the clerk says, I'm actually a male, not a female, and obviously I called him a gal because she looked like a gal. I mean, she had long hair, and she had colored hair, and long eyebrows and eyelashes, and was dressed like a girl, but obviously was transitioning or whatever, you know. And, you know, and I was very polite, but I know that, you know, that he or she wanted me to, like, you know, either be shocked or get into this whole, you know, diatribe with her about, oh, well, you know, I really give you credit for, you know, having some convictions, for wanting to be who you are, you know. And you know, basically what I wanted to say was, you know, I would prefer a kiosk up here where I could scan this fucking thing myself and get the hell out of here and not have to deal with a freak like you. You know? But this is my whole point, is when we just let people get away with this stuff. And I mean, I just, when I see what's going on at these city council meetings across this country, when I see what's going on at these school board meetings across this country, these people, you give them an inch, they'll take 10 miles.
Right.
And it's never going to get better. And you're going to be like, oh, Joe Biden's, everything's going to hell. Well, believe me, I live in a major metropolitan area where things have absolutely descended to the gates of hell in a matter of 20 years. because these people have not been checked locally. Nobody's had the balls to stand up and just say, you know, what you're doing is childish. What you're doing is wrong. You defunded the police, and now nobody in the whole metropolitan area will come into your city because the carjackings are up 622%.
Whoa.
And now you want to tax me more to help the businesses that are failing because you let the carjackers loose in this city. But nobody was around back when these people were running for office. When they said, well, the number one thing in my agenda is make sure that the LGBTQ community is at the forefront of things. Who stood up in the audience at that debate? Who stood up in the audience and said, I got a question. What percentage of Minneapolis is gay? 3%? So you just said that your number one priority is to ignore 97% of the people in this fucking metropolitan city. To ignore 97% of the people and push the agenda of 3%. That's what you just told. You're the one that wants to be on the city council?
And
who
won,
stood up and
right?
said that? Oh,
nobody.
God, no, you can't do that.
No.
You'd be seen as homophobic.
Yeah, among other things. You'd be escorted out.
I mean, who stood up to Rashida Tlaib and said, you know, for somebody whose religion, you know, cuts the clitoris off 8-year-old girls, you got a lot of nerve calling the President of the United States a motherfucker.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But nobody dares say it. Okay. All right, buddy. Thanks for letting me go.
I hope you feel better. That was really good.
I do. I feel a lot better.
See, you are holding this in, and you know, we touched on the right topics, and that just inspired you to vent, and that's the idea. Okay.
Well, there's hopefully there's a method to my madness that people will start to really, you know, because I worry about conservatives. I worry about them. We're using so much energy just lashing back at this insanity. And it's no good. You know, what's the old saying about don't argue with an idiot? You know, we're lashing out at this insanity, and it gets us nowhere, and we use up all of this energy that should be funneled in other directions to try and correct things. And you know, when you realize, you know, if you were walking down the street and somebody yelled some inflammatory thing at you and you looked over and you could quickly determine that they were absolutely completely intoxicated or they were mentally ill, you just keep walking. You're not going to walk over and get in some sort of verbal argument with a drunk or somebody that's mentally ill. Well, why would we do that in this scenario? You know, why give Joe Biden the time of day? Go to work to undermine him. Go to work on all these other people involved. Take these people out. You know? I mean, we sit and go from one thing to another. You know, where were the 50,000 people, you know, outside of the Supreme Court protesting, you know, to find out who the leaker was?
Yeah, which we saw.
I'm not very happy that they haven't found the leaker and that person isn't in prison.
Agreed.
So we just move on. We just let it go.
But see, this is what I think. This is what's frustrating to conservatives in some way. We're pining for a we want a leader. Okay, we watch how the destructive Democrat Party works together. And there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party, by the way. But we watch how they stick together, each and every individual. And then we're sidetracked and we're distracted by the Joe Manchins and the cinemas, like they're supposed to be some iconic honorings. And in the end, you have one cohesive party and another party who thrives to be that Democrat Party. But they try to remain, you know, to the other side, the opposite side of the aisle. But there's no, it's like there's no cohesiveness. We're not getting anything out of Rona McDaniel, okay, the niece of Mitt Romney, the head of the RNC. And where is the Lee Atwater that we so desperately need? And I think this is what's frustrating. And so I think by ad hoc, you've got Donald Trump being the leader of the Republican Party because he's saying the right things at these forums, at these would you call them, these rallies that he's having. And he's attracting 25,000-30,000 people, you know, who want to hear exactly what he's telling us because we're not hearing it from Mitch McConnell. We're not hearing it from Steve Scalise. We're not hearing it from Milquetoast McCarthy. You know, we're hearing the same vanilla nonsense from these canned individuals. And yet the conservatives want a leader. And who is that leader? You know, that's what I'm taking from this, Soldier. I mean, you make a great point, but I don't see anybody stepping up. And, you know, there should have been somebody in the United States Senate, and Ted Cruz tried to do it, but who slapped down McConnell, slapped him down. He's 80 years old, by the way. Should have slapped him down and summarily rejected his comments. How dare who you consider to be the minority leader? I would have called a vote for the Republicans immediately to have him removed as minority leader. Immediately. But
let me ask you a quick question. Which U.S. senator went on record, went on a Sunday news show the week after McConnell uttered those what he did? What U.S. senator from the Republican side got on the news show a week later on Sunday morning and said, that was complete bullshit. We're going to win the Senate. We're going to take back 6 seats. Which one did that? I missed it.
I believe it was Ted Cruz. Maybe not on a Sunday talk show, but he did come out and he said that. Matter of fact, I believe he used the number 6.
So one out of what?
One out of
49.
49? 48. Yep, one.
Yeah, okay. So, right? I mean, that tells you, and that's the whole point. This is my whole problem with Trump. Everybody's like, oh, my God, Trump's got to run in 2024, okay? Well, you know, he got in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they took him out.
Right.
They took him out. And here we are, dying the slow death of 1,000 paper cuts. So he gets elected in 2024. They'll just take him out again. You can't put your eggs in one basket. This isn't the kind of country, you know, we don't live in a monarchy. We don't live in a complete dictatorship yet. You know, I mean,
we're close.
The point being is the same number of senators that stood up to Mitch McConnell is the same number of senators and representatives who stood up for Donald Trump. When they were taking him out, when they were spying on him, how many reps in the House of Representatives, how many Republican reps walked out of the House and said, we will not come back into this House until we have an investigation of those spying on Donald Trump? How many did that?
I think I have that. I think I have that Mr. Blutarsky clip. Here we go. I think Mr. Blutarsky had...
Blutarsky. 0.0.
Would that be the right number?
Yeah.
All right.
And you know me well enough by now, Vito, that the reason no representative stood up, the reason they didn't walk out of the House is because they all supported it, secretly supported it. They
right.
wanted Donald Trump out. They actually supported the spying on him. and all that kind of stuff. That's the reason no senators are criticizing McConnell, because it's the way it is. It's the system that's in place. They want to keep it moving forward, Donald Trump. But to think that Donald Trump, as one man, is going to turn this country around is the most insane behavior I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I mean,
I have to agree with you.
I love Donald Trump to no end, but I mean, if you can imagine Donald Trump with 250 representatives who absolutely are 100% behind him, and 55 senators who are 100% behind him and behind those values, my God, this country would, I mean, we would blitz the world. It would be like, they'd be, you know, every country in the world would be lining up boats outside of our harbors just looking for, like, breadcrumbs. We'd be kicking ass and taking names. You know, I mean, it would be unbelievable what this country could do in that scenario.
You know what's unbelievable right now? I've got another patriot on the line, and this is iGuy, and iGuy was inspired by your rant, and so
it's like I gotta call in to get this guy on
yeah.
the freaking show.
No, I got iGuy. Good evening, iGuy. You're with Holger as well. What an honor.
Yes. Good evening, Vito. It's a long-time listener to all the patriots and first-time caller, and Holger. You know, I just have to call to put my arms around you and embrace the passion, because it is what we feel. There's no question. It is what we feel. And you're absolutely right. They would chastise, and I call him 45, but they would chastise Trump for any opportunity of trying to take the office again. They won't let January 6th go. It was all his fault. We can't identify the people that were they truly MAGA people? We don't know that. Soros pays all these protesters. So how do we know who was who? So at the end of the day, his passion, and Vito, to your credit, you hit it right on the head, to his passion is the leadership. People follow leaders. And when you have someone, as he did, and he led us for that period of time. He supported the American cause. It's everything that Holger, as you said, the passion behind the Americana, the way we felt and the way we lived America. But we've become very diverse. And when you open the border the way it has, you have so many different cultures that we don't know who the hell is who these days. And beyond the conservative approach that we lived by and the values that we knew as America, now we've become extremely diverse. And I love diversity, but at the end of the day, we're still missing the leadership. Joe promised us, campaigning from his basement, that he would bring us together. And in almost 50 years in government, Joe Obama, as we call him, he hasn't done anything to lead us. He's not leading us. He barely knows what he had for breakfast. We all know that. So when we think of Kamala, who made an appearance today. Amazing. Where the hell has she been? This is going to bring us to a point where, as much as we have our passion about things turning around, they will pull another rabbit out of their hat. She will disappear before the election. They'll replace her. They can. They'll put somebody in there, whether it's Gavin Newsom or somebody, and then all of a sudden Joe will get sick too. And they'll replace him, and we are always chasing the tail. The conservative movement, we can't catch up. And there's less of us now, and there's more of them. So, you know, what you said earlier, Holger, about challenging people, you know, I'll do the same thing from time to time. But this environment that we live in is nuts. It's radically nuts. And I'll do the same thing with pushing carts and trying to lead people and help them and understanding and this and that. But, you know, Vito, we've talked about it before, too. Every family has the divide. Friendships have been lost over the divide. And this is what they want. They want this constant division in this country. They don't want unity. Joe don't want unity. He wants this divide. And the more we continue to divide, the better it is for them. And I don't know how we fix it and try and be optimistic in this election and the whole bit, but I don't know. We can only be as passionate as we are and keep the cause going. But, I'm with you both and with all the Patriots. We try and do our bit, but I like to think that we can try and – I hope we can – there's some in this younger generation that get it, but most don't. They're antisocial. They're locked in the closet. They're in video games. They don't care. They just want free shit. Yep. The more free shit is coming, and the less they have to work for it. You see all the craziness that's going on now with all of the student loans that all of a sudden people don't have to pay for anymore. What about hardworking Americans that sacrificed all of their retirement to put their kids through school? How would you feel? How do these people feel? So,
well, let me just cut in there because you made a great point there when you talked about the kids and they're isolating and they're on the video games and now, you know, they're showing no responsibility with the student loans and stuff. So I take you back to, you know, like grade school, when you were in grade school and it was time to go out for recess and they were going to have a kickball game and you lined up, you know, 50 kids out there to form two teams to play kickball, and the two captains started picking kids to be on their team, and they get to the final two kids that haven't been picked out of 50. There's two of these sitting down on the end down there, and neither captain even wants them. You know, they don't even want to pick them because they're such losers. Okay, well, now if you look at those two, you know, one of them is little Joe Biden, and the other one is little Kamala Harris. Now, Kamala, she's picking her boogers, and Joe's got his left shoe on his right foot and his right shoe on his left foot, and he's looking down at the ground. And those two all of a sudden become the two most powerful people in the world. And where do you think the idea comes from that kids should just be able to sit in their room and not have to do any chores, get an allowance, you know, and not pay back their college debt? Who do you think came up with an idea that stupid? But those two losers at the end of the line who've been carrying this grudge against those two captains all their life, we'll show them. We'll show we're going to turn this country's young people into zombies.
Who they know, how many of these congressmen that came in with nothing, they leave with millions, they get paid retirements, all of these favors, everything that goes on. But you're right. They want to keep these people dumb and stupid. Now the football will start again. Everybody will be distracted. You know, you want to take over America, do it on Super Bowl Sunday when one in four people are inebriated. I mean, they're totally oblivious with what's going on. They don't care. Give me my football. Keep me occupied. Keep me distracted. And that's what they do. They don't want them to be smart enough to understand what's going on. And when socialism treats, you know, then all of a sudden, oh, my God, what happened? Oh, how is this? No, wait a minute. You can't do it. It'll be too late by then. No, I don't know.
I'm so old that I can remember back when Jimmy Carter was running for president, and the big scandal was his brother. Remember his brother? Jimmy Carter's brother
Billy
had a broad name, Billy Carter. And the scandal was that Billy liked to drink Billy beer.
That's right.
Billy Carter had he was just known to drink a lot of beer. That was the big scandal. So let's just compare, you know, 50 years later, Billy Carter, who's throwing back a few brewskis, versus Hunter Biden. let's just compare the scandal there.
Let's see. Snorting Parmesan cheese from rugs.
God.
Banging underage girls. Banging Valio Mama. Yeah, other than that, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
What's the most frustrating thing that we see? There's no accountability. We all talk about it, and there's just no accountability for all of what goes on. And that's the sick part about it. You and I, I'm sure we've all worked in our careers where if you didn't meet a performance review or you compromised integrity, you knew what the outcome was. There was consequences for that. Very plain and simple. And I walk your ass to the door. I didn't do it. You did it. Here's the rules. It's on video. Explain it to me. You can't. Okay, so long. Bye-bye. Because if you make that exception, then what are you telling all the people that are holding the rules and following the rules and being upstanding citizens and being creditable? You lose all credibility. All credibility. And this is what happens in this country. There is no consequence for these acts that compromise the integrity. And then you want to go to Mar-a-Lago and you want to go investigate our guy. Who knows if they didn't plant shit? I mean, they know he's a threat. They see the uprising of this momentum coming again. And they're deceitful, evil people, these Democrats, and what they do. It's horrible. Evil people. Evil. Ugh. Well, anyway, listen, thank you for what you guys do. You're wonderful. And we embrace you all the patriots and everybody that stands by this creed of America. And all we can do is keep doing what we're doing. That's all. And hope that the outcome comes. We need something to happen. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But we're going to try and keep fighting. And thank you for what you do.
And a boy.
Thank you. Thank you, guy.
Great call, A guy.
All right.
Great patriot. Out of there. So ciao.
Ciao. I'm gonna hop off too and leave you to the remaining 14 minutes of your show.
You know what, Hoser? I guy said it best. He used the word optimistic, and I was trying to think of why, you know, we remain hopeful, and it's the optimism, and that's what's cool about being conservative, because we are optimistic. And you know, we understand the terminology. Okay, you have to use Republican and Democrat because that's the system we're in right now. But the idea is that we're optimistic that there will be a leader who will emerge. We're optimistic that things will change. Now, it's becoming more and more of a struggle because, you know, we're being thrust upon, you know, imbeciles like Joe Obama and communist Kamala, you know, who embraces everything that's antithetical to what this country was founded upon. But we still have that one little hope. It's called optimism. And I think that's what makes us, I think that's why we're different on the conservative side, because there is that optimism. Now, reality kicks in at times, and who would have thunk that in 2020 the reality was that cheating would be widespread and there would be voter fraud. And we're finding out more and more as time goes on. Just like I have the clip with, unfortunately, it's probably a little bit too long, but I have the clip of Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan. You know, 2 years later, he's admitting the FBI helped suppress information. You know, and again, we were railed against, we were berated, we were belittled, you know, with regards to how influential, you know, Zuckerberg and his wife Chan were with the Democrat Party, and it turns out we were right. We were absolutely right.
But Vito, you could publish a book, a 300-page book from cover to cover with nothing but a list, one continuous list of times where we got sucker punched, where we were proven right. I mean, there'd be 14 chapters just on Hillary Clinton, and it never changes. Nothing ever happens. Hillary never went to prison. You know, we never found the emails. You know, Zuckerberg will never get in trouble. You know, the FBI won't be, you know, held to account. I mean, you know, I try to simplify things. It's mm-hmm. it's like, how can this be going on? And it boils down for me, it boils down to, there are people in this country who want to win. And there are people in this country who embrace losing. They love the idea of losing. I mean, it sounds crazy to
right.
somebody like me who likes to win at things. You know, I'm not obsessed with it, but when I was working, I wanted to be the best. I worked hard to be the best that I could be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I took pride in our armed forces because they were the best in the world. We kicked everybody's ass. They were afraid of us
mm-hmm.
because if we put our minds to it, we could conquer anybody. You know, and you've got these people in our country who embrace losing. And I would point to the biggest reflection of this is Barack Obama versus Donald Trump. Barack Obama, ever since he was that little unwanted child, shuttled around, pawned off on his commie grandparents, who are a completely different color than him, and this kid embraced losing, you know, when he was 5 years old. You know, he bowed to the Saudi king because he's a loser. He loves to be in that cuckold status. You know, he loves to sit in a room and watch his wife with other men. I mean, he's a loser. He embraces that. And that's what he spread across this country, was the fact that America doesn't deserve anything because we're bad. America is bad. And along comes Donald Trump, who's been a winner all his life. He's worked his ass off to become, you know, one of the richest men, to be successful with his hotels and his enterprises and all this. And he comes out and gets lambasted, gets raked over the coals because he has the audacity to come out with a saying, "Make America Great Again." My God, if that isn't the epitome of what I'm trying to say, when all of a sudden Make America Great Again becomes a horrible, hate-filled phrase, that says it all.
That's bingo. That was very well stated. Very well stated.
We got winners and we got losers.
That's right.
And Vito, are a winner.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Sorry
that I abducted your show. That wasn't the plan. I thought maybe I'd give you a little break with no Al tonight. Got a little carried away.
No, that was good. Thank you. I didn't realize I'm still I am still recovering from COVID, so my airspan is not as good as it was last month, but it's getting there. So, but no, thank you.
You sound pretty good. So, all right, hang in there, buddy. Thanks for letting me call in.
Hey, anytime, Hoser. Thank you for the call. It was great.
All right. See you later.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Ciao.
Bye.
So that was Hoser. I want to also thank iGuy. Great calls. And, you know, Patriots, true Patriots. We understand the score out there, and we understand what's happening. And it is time to fight back. And it's time. We're going to remain optimistic, but we are going to elect individuals who espouse what America is for. And you know, in Florida, you've got Val Demings who's going to run against Marco Rubio for the U.S. Senate. And let's not forget, Val Demings is a Nancy Pelosi clone. She voted 100% of the time. So just look at this, okay? Do we want to go down this road of Marxism and communism? Because if you do, then Val Demings is who you want. You want a Nancy Pelosi in Florida to undo everything good that has been done in Florida, all the positive and the growth. And this is what South Dakota is about. This is what Tennessee is about. This is what Texas is about. It's about moving forward. It's about embracing the American dream, embracing freedoms and liberties. Not Marxism and communism, not government being your end all, not government supplanting your ability to raise your child. That's what the people of Virginia spoke out against. So it's time that we continue to fight back. It's time that we fight for our liberties and our freedoms, and we reject this left-wing ideology, this radical and extreme left-wing ideology. Joe Biden is a charlatan. Joe Biden is an anti-constitutionalist, and frankly, he's an anti-American. And let's remember that at the polls. State of Florida, you have a choice, a clear choice. You have current Governor Ron DeSantis, or you have a disaster, a once-run governor, former governor, Charlie Crist, was an absolute disaster. He's a spaghetti spine pretty boy. And it's time to take back your state, okay, and reject these radicals, these extreme left-wingers like a Charlie Crist, like a Val Demings, for Lee Zeldin. Vote for Tina Forte. Let's bounce these individuals like Wyoming did in bouncing Liz Cheney. Enough is enough, folks. So I want to thank Holger for the call. I want to thank iGuy. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Check it out. I want to thank Ducky Northwest, Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio, iGuy, the Alaskan, Baked Alaskan, Boyd, and also the one and only Sue from New Mexico. I want to thank you all for joining us today. I want to thank Eric from Kafiristan, who was in the house as well, and everyone in the podcast. Excuse me. Tomorrow night, we got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m., and it's his college football kickoff. I'm sure he'll have his Iowa Hawkeye buddies. Paul Sutliff, hey, the Sutliffian Report on Thursday. The Cancer of Civilization Jihad is his latest book. Check it out at Amazon.com and at Paul Sutliff's website. Paul does a great job. And Friday, you got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Great guest had by Andrew, and you can follow some of his writings on jihad.watch and Front Page Mag. Write some outstanding articles. Saturday, Osama Dakduk and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If ever there was an individual, a man, who remains optimistic and perseveres, I'll tell you, Minister Osama Dakduk is truly one of the most gracious men, one of the most hardworking individuals, and he is not afraid to talk about his passion, Christianity. And he's also, like Eric, an educator about Islam. Check out Osama Dakduk's show, 10 p.m. Saturday evening, Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue. Starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out his show. And, of course, Alan and I will be back Monday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please keep G-Ski in your prayers from Airways America. He's doing better, and your prayers are leaving. He will recover fully, and God bless you, G-Ski. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check out Annie's show with our great sidekick, Curtis Bennett, Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Chiefs, Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. If you want to break from Islam, from politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Joshua does a great job with great self-help. Just a fantastic show, and very, very positive. If you want to learn about better ways to for your health and your welfare, Simone Nicole is a great show to go to. And, of course, Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays at AudreyRusso.com. Audrey's a great American as well, a great patriot. So check out her show, 8 p.m. on Thursdays. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this evening. You all have a good evening. Be aware of your surroundings. And tell you what, let's remain optimistic. And let's elect conservatives. Take care, folks.
Ciao.
He truly feels.
Good night, everybody. Stay well. Bye, Sue. Love you. Mama Mia hugs to you. Good night.